Thank you, worship team. Lost for words. That's how I feel right now. I'm sorry. No. If you're wondering, if you're new here and you're wondering who I am, it doesn't matter. I am not the pastor. I am just somebody here that's to speak, and I'm having trouble with this thing. I'm going to put it in my pocket. As many times as one comes up here to share the Lord's Word, it's always a very nervous time. I chose for a topic for today's message. It seems kind of strange, but I guess in that it's a question, but this question, we're only going to look at a minute part of it because the question is huge. And the question is, who is Jesus to you? So before we get into that, would you pray with me? Our loving Father, I am humbled before you, Lord. I just ask you, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts, that you would use me, that you would calm my spirit, Lord, and work through me to reach all of us. Give us a glimmer, Lord, of who you are and what you have for us. And help us, Lord, to be transformed by the renewing of our minds as you desire. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Topic. Scripture reading is going to be John chapter 1, verse 1 through 14. Now, if you were to ask somebody, who is Jesus to you? Even if you were to ask believers, who is Jesus to you? You would get different responses from people depending upon the circumstances at that moment in their lives. Or what was going on in their lives, things that happened, some tragedy, some sorrow. Jesus might be strength, he might be comfort, he might be peace. Above all, what we're going to look at is only a little part of who Jesus is. How about if you ask the world who Jesus is? Have you ever asked somebody who Jesus is to them, who is a non-believer? And you're going to get a lot of different responses. And mostly what I have found is you're going to get responses like, well, he was a great man. Or he was, you know, he was a good teacher. Yeah, I hear that he was a prophet. You know, he set a good example, but he was a great man. You will get all kinds of answers about Jesus' humanity, about Jesus as a man. But yet the world denies him as God. They'll deny his deity. Now, what kind of spurred me on in this was a couple of weeks ago, I'll share a little story with you to try to get things rolling here. It was on a Saturday a couple of weeks ago, I had this car drive up my driveway, and nobody comes to visit me on a Saturday. I mean, that's just the way it is. And I happened to be home. I wasn't out working, and my wife and I were in the living room, and I see this car pull up. And I thought, well, maybe it was my neighbors who live on the next ridge over. And the car kind of looked like theirs. Well, they're Seventh-day Adventist, and they were attending church on Saturday. And it was kind of in the afternoon, so I thought maybe they were out of church. But it wasn't. It was another gentleman, and tall gentleman, and he gets out of this car, and he starts walking to the house carrying a Bible and a little leaflet that says, you know, what they want you to take. And I told my wife, I said, somebody's here. I looked out and I realized it was one of those people that we've all been, most of us have been visited by. And I thought, would you like to take this, honey? No. And I said, boy, I would love to talk with this gentleman. So he came to the door, knocked on the door. Naturally, I would not let him bring his news in, his different gospel in. But we conversed, and of course the conversation went something like this. He wanted to let me know that Armageddon was coming. I said, yeah, it is. I know it. And he says, oh, you believe in God, Jehovah? And I said, boy, do I ever. I believe that Jehovah is God. I said, but we have a little difference of opinion. I said, you see, I also believe that Jesus is God. And so he goes to Scripture, and he pulls up a passage that he pulls out of context and puts it over here and then tries to tell me that Jesus is created by God. That he's not God, he was created by God. Well, so out of love for the man, I tried to explain to him why I believe the way I believe. We all know the jokes about those who come to your door and try to give a different gospel, you know, and we make fun and we try to ridicule. But yet, aren't they lost as we once were? The same way. So the whole time I'm praying in my heart, Lord, what would you have me say to this man? And it went on and on, so I went to Scripture and I shared. Yeah, well, you guys, I shared this with him, John. Chapter 1. And he says, you guys always give us that. Well, isn't it true? He couldn't deny it, but he refused to listen. So the conversation kept going on and on. Man, Lord, what can I do? So, obviously, I finally said to the gentleman, I said, sir, I've given you all the testimony that I can give you. And I can see that it's not changing your mind. And I said, and for certain, you are never going to change mine. So, can I pray for you? No. Off he went. So I prayed for him anyway. So that's how this all started. And I had a different message before that, but that the Lord had put in my heart. But I thought, this is one that I really need, and I feel we all need. So, we are going to use John chapter 1, verses 1 through 14, to get a small glimmer of who Jesus is. The question when you say, who is Jesus to you, is too huge to cover in this amount of time. So, we're just going to get a little piece of it, a little nugget, as you would say. So I'd like to start off and read, if I may. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. Now I want to stop right here for a moment and let you know I am reading from the New King James. I'm going to go back later, and I'm going to read part of this as the King James says it for a particular purpose, because it's a little bit different, and I like the way the King James says it. So anyway, verse 4, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John tells us, I'm going to break this down a little bit. 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning, excuse me, the Greek word for beginning here. As you look at this, we have a tendency, and I say we, I use that term loosely, I have a tendency a lot of times to think of things in our own human terms, okay? And we think of things as, when we hear beginning, that's the start of something, right? The beginning of a race, the beginning of a contest, the beginning of the school year, the beginning of the church service. You know, we start, okay, 9 o'clock, worship starts at 9. Beginning doesn't mean that in these terms. Beginning, the Greek word is arche, which means before any creation, before any created thing. So when we look at this, if we ever get to share this with others, when we look at this, we have to understand that beginning means before any created thing. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Beginning is not necessarily a point in time. Beginning is before something. We know that God always was, and is, and always will be. So the beginning is before any creation. He was in the beginning. Can we think of it that way? So that's, we're kind of going there with this. He was with God, the Father, before any or all creation. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word here in Greek is logos, which always refers to Jesus. To Jesus being God. Now, the same word is used in the original Torah, and actually was used by the Jews back in Moses' writing in Deuteronomy. Only the word that they used then is Mimra. The Jewish word for the Word is Mimra. And whenever they used that, that was in reference to the Messiah, the Christ. And we know in Greek it's the Christ. In the Jewish language, it was the Messiah, Mimra. And I can go all the way back and we look in Deuteronomy chapter 26, verse 17. It states, Moses talking to the people, he states, "Today you have proclaimed the Lord to be your God." Now, if we look at that in the way it was written, it would say, "Today you have declared the Word of God to be your God." Just as in the beginning was the Word. But what they were saying was, Moses was saying, "Today you have declared the Messiah to be your God." The same thing. So when we look at that, in the beginning, before all creation, was the Word. The Messiah, Jesus. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. In the beginning. Long before. Therefore, there is no question, there can be no question and no doubt that Jesus, the Word is the term for Jesus, and since He was with God in the beginning, He is not a created being. He is God. He didn't come into being by an act of something else. He is God. And the Word was God. This leads us to our first principle. Jesus has and will always be God the Son. Now verse 3. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. Now, King James says it to me in the proper manner. It says, all things were made by Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. All things were created by Jesus. Now, when we think of all things, we have to understand this cannot be limited to any part of the universe. But all things, that would be masses, material things, everything that exists, great or small, spiritual, physical, or beyond our own finite thinking. Jesus created everything. Jesus was the agent by which all things came into existence. Now, Colossians chapter 1 puts it this way. Would you read this with me? For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. All things created by him and for him. And in verse 3, when it says that all things were created or made by him, it says also, without him, nothing was made that was made. It is an affirmation stressing a point that whenever you see something like this, it's an affirmation. It says a surety that all things are made by him. But to affirm it and give it that surety, it says without him, nothing was made that was made. It puts an emphasis on the removal of any doubt that might exist about his powers as creator. And verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Not only did he create all things, but he gave life to all that lives. He gave life to every single living thing, all flora, all fauna, every single thing from the tiniest living organism to his greatest creation. And he created everything within the universe itself, everything within it. It's kind of mind-boggling, I can't comprehend it, and I don't attempt to, but when he gave life to all these things, that's not only things in our realm, not only things in the physical realm. When we think of things, life, we think of it as, you know, we can think, okay, small living things, you know, microscopic organisms, all the way up to some of the largest creatures on earth. And of course, we being created in his image, which we're going to get into in a little bit, but he also created and gave life to the spiritual creatures. All things in heaven, visible and invisible. And he then breathed the breath of life into man. That he created in his own image. He breathed his spirit into man. Now that life that he gave us, he says that life was the light of men. Life given to man to open his eyes, to keep him from stumbling in the darkness. To give men knowledge, to save us from the evils of ignorance and error. And this brings us to our second principle. Jesus is creator of all. Now, again, when we say all, that's all inclusive. That's everything. He's creator of all. All inclusive. I'm going to let you try to, you know, take that in a little bit. It's kind of hard for us to understand all when we think of all, because we can't comprehend it all. Silly. Anyway, verse 5, he says, "And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." Jesus was that light. Now, he came, and he shined that light in the darkness. And when it refers to darkness here, darkness is referring to that within which we live in the absence of Jesus. You can look at, in Webster's dictionary, or any dictionary, darkness, you know, people might think, well, darkness is opposite of light. It's not. Darkness is the absence of light. Thank you, Jack. Thank you much. Darkness is the absence of light. And so, without Jesus, there is only darkness. Okay? So, that light, He is the light. And He came. It shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Man, living in darkness, it refers to his heart. Okay, it doesn't refer to darkness as we would see darkness. It refers to the darkness that we live in. That absence of Jesus, there's only darkness without Him. There's darkness in our hearts. It is ignorance and error. Okay, that's plain and simple. When we look at people that don't know Jesus and we try to present Jesus to them, they're living in ignorance and error. It is not that's the best way I can put it in my simple terms, because I am simple. But without Him, that's all there is. And so He is the light. And I'm going to jump to verse 9. I want to skip all of John, about John, but verse 9 says, "That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world." So the light that penetrates the darkness and reveals the hidden things that are in the darkness. Jesus removes ignorance and reveals truth to us. He was in the world, and the world did not know Him. He came to His own, and His own did not receive Him. Now, when it says the world did not know Him, it was the world did not accept Him for who He was, but rejected Him. And He came to shine that light to every man, whether Jew or Gentile, great, small, slave, free. Every man. That light is presented and given to every single person. He is the light. And so, He came for every single man. Not just those who would believe in Him. Verse 12. "But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name." I'm going to go on this one too. I have to. Believe. "As many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name." Now, not all reject Him. Some received Him. Some still receive Him. We did. We who believe in Him. Now, the word "believe" here. I'm kind of a stickler on this, because remember Jesus said even the demons believe and tremble. The word "believe" here is the same word used in John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that whosoever..." "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." And the same in Acts 16:31, I believe it is. "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." The same word here. It's the Greek word pistuo. Now, it doesn't mean to, "Yeah, I believe in Jesus. You know, it's up here. Knowledge. I believe in Jesus. I have knowledge of that. No, it's here. To put your faith and trust in. When it says believe, it means to surrender to put your faith and trust in, not to think and know who Jesus is knowledge-wise, is to surrender to Him. And then He gave as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God. Adopted into the family of God, the Father, to become heirs with Jesus as to all the privileges and rights of royalty as sons of a king, in this case, King of Kings, Lord of all creation. Those who put their faith and trust in Jesus, He gave the right to become children of God, heirs to everything that, if you're heirs, if you're adopted into the family, the right to become children, it's the same term as being heirs. Everything that He has is ours because we've been adopted into His family if we believe in Jesus. He gives us everything freely. In verse 13, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Now, Jesus, remember, if He told Nicodemus, we can go back, remember Nicodemus, he came to Jesus by night, and he wanted to know how, you know, all this worked, and Jesus told him, you must be born again. And Nicodemus says, how can a man go back into his mother's womb? And Jesus, of course, wasn't speaking of physical birth, but a spiritual birth. And He said that a man must be born of the Holy Spirit. And that's what He's referring to here. 13, who were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Now, not of blood, it's plural here in the Greek. It's not of bloods. In other words, meaning not of a particular descent. And the Jews, of course, prided themselves, the reason this is being said, the Jews prided themselves as being descended from Abraham, Father Abraham. They had the law given to them. And so they prided themselves as being descended from Abraham, who was given the promises of God. And they prided themselves as having the law. They felt that they were entitled to the favor of God because of their blood descent. So they felt that they already had all these rights because, you know, we're heirs to what Abraham received. We already have all this. And that's why He's saying this, not of blood. And then not of the will of the flesh, also not of natural generation, nor of the will of man. And that is not by man's strength, by his power, or anything that man can muster. Nothing that man can do, but of God. Only by God's power, His grace, and love for man can such a miraculous thing ever take place. And we know that God produces change in man and extends the privilege of being called His children. The heart is changed by His power, by His love, His grace, His mercy. And no effort of man, no works of man can bring this change. We can't, no matter how hard we try, you know, we try to be good, we try to do what's right, and obviously we can't do it. We try, but we're always going to fail. God can't fail. He can't change Himself. But when we look at this, you have to understand, it says, nor of the will of man, but of God. Now, when it says of the will, it's referring to man's man trying to do so. But in order to receive God's grace, His mercy, and all that He has given us, and to become His children, we have to come to Him of our own free will, don't we? He does the calling, but we have the ability to say yes or no. It is of our will, so that's where man's will does come into play. God's gracious. He wants us as we are. His love is tremendous. But we still have the opportunity to say no, if you call that an opportunity. We have the privilege of saying yes, or we can always say no. So anyway, this passage right here teaches a few things. First, it teaches that if men are to be saved, they must be born again. We know that. If we have been born again. It teaches that our salvation is not a result of birth or heritage. It teaches us that this work is the work of God and no man can do it for us. Only by the grace of God can we come to the saving knowledge of Jesus as Lord and Savior. Verse 14. It says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." God of all creation, in the beginning, Jesus. Jesus with God, Jesus was God, and all things were created by Jesus. And Jesus became flesh and dwelt among us. Now, this is kind of hard for me to picture in my own mind. But if Jesus created all things, and He became flesh, okay, became, when it says the Word became flesh, means that obviously He pre-existed before He became flesh. Okay, can we grasp that? It's another truth, another surety of Jesus existing before He became flesh. So if Jesus created all things, then He created Himself as a man. Now that just boggles my mind. I'm sorry, I cannot get wrapped around that too good. But you, as you think about it, it is true. If He created all things, He also created Himself as man. He had to be born, created that egg to generate inside of Mary, to be born, to grow in her womb, and then to come out a kicking, screaming little baby, and go through life just as we all do. To be born just as we were born. To grow as a child. To experience every single thing that we experience. To think that Jesus, God the Son, who is in this intimate relationship with God the Father, before creation, okay, before all creation, and even after creation, some creation, He's in this intimate relationship with God the Father, with the Holy Spirit. They are one, right? We believe in the triune God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And Jesus is there with Him. This is the most intimate relationship there can be. And He gave that up to create Himself as a man. To be born. To come out as a baby. And to grow from a baby to a toddler, child, adolescent, adult man. And to experience everything that we experience, like I said, with one exception. He was tempted in every way, as you and I are tempted. Yet He was sinless. How many of you have been able to resist every single temptation in life? Not me, I can tell you that for sure. Jesus is the only one who could. and the only one who did. As he walked through life, he ate, he slept, he worked with his own hands. He did everything we did. And he led a sinless life. And then he started his teaching. And he gathered men to follow him and to teach them so that he could be remembered and to teach them what God desires of us and to give them the gospel, the truth that exists only in him. And then he went. When we think about this, God of all creation, who always was, always will be, and then in that little portion of time, took it upon himself to be born, to live, and then to take our sins upon himself, knowing what lay ahead, and he took it all. Because of why? Because of that he created in his own image, you and I. That he breathed the breath of life into. That he desires to have fellowship with. That became lost. That he wanted to redeem to himself. He says, I want you. I love you. I want you with me. So as he taught, knowing what lay ahead, he went to that cross as a sacrifice for our sins. He took that beating freely, and that almost killed him, the beating itself, ripped his flesh, made him unrecognizable, and then went to that. And I like this cross here, and we have all kinds of different crosses, but you picture that one that he was hung on. With those, the two thieves that were there with him. It was a Roman way of execution. It was agonizing. And he went to it freely. It was a rustic. Any of you guys that have ever hewn a chunk of wood out of something know what this rustic, sliver-infested, rough piece of wood that he was nailed to. And I had it described one time by a doctor. I heard it, and I don't know if you have too, but an agonizing way to die. And he went there freely for you and me to take our sins with him. And we know that he died on that cross, that he went to the tomb. 3 days later, he rose. And he lives today, which is the good news. Because he lives, we can. And all he desires of us is that we believe. That is, with our hearts, with our souls, that we put our faith and trust in him. John 14:6 puts it this way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Jesus is the truth. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We've looked at him a little bit as the life. We've looked at him as God. We've looked at him as creator. But I'd like to lead you to your final principle. Jesus is God. Jesus is creator of all. And Jesus is savior of all who believe. Now, when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, God's word is truth, right? Do we believe that God's word is truth? It is the one book that has been challenged throughout history by many, many so-called wise men. I would have to say they are knowledgeable, intelligent, knowledgeable men with great learning. They have tried to disprove this book many, many times. It is impossible to disprove God's word. It is the one book that has stood the test of time, the one book that has been challenged by more people than any other, and the one book that has led more of those challengers to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ than any other. That most people who challenge this and say, I'm going to prove it wrong, find out that they cannot, that it is truth. Jesus is truth. Truth is truth. I want to leave you with this. Truth is truth, whether you believe it or not. Truth is not predicated upon whether someone believes it or not. It doesn't matter if I don't believe it. It's still truth. If I don't believe it, doesn't make it any less true. It is still truth. There, it is an absolute. Jesus is an absolute. If you're here today, if you're new today and you've never come to that place in your life where you've said, you know, Jesus, I understand who you are and I need you in my life. I need salvation. I don't know where my future's going. He's calling you. He's led you here. He's brought you here. It's the easiest thing to do. All you have to do is surrender to Him. Ask Him to take control of your life, to be your Lord and Savior. And then if you do so, tell somebody. As the worship team comes forward to play a song, I'd like to pray. And then at the end of the worship service, there will be those up here for you if you need prayer. If you need a touch of comfort, if you just want to pray, have a praise you want to share that with those who are up here. And if you need prayer, come on up. They're here to pray for you. Our loving Father, we thank You for Your word of truth. Thank You. Thank You, Jesus, for giving me life. For giving me eternal life through Your sacrifice. And Lord, I just thank You for Your message today and ask that You would apply it to my life, apply it to the lives of those who are here. Thank You for revealing Yourself to us in a little bit more, that we could tend to grow a little bit more in You, Jesus. It is in Your name that we pray. Amen.